Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net. Right, hello, welcome to Outcast World. I am Graham Smith. On today's episode, I am sitting down with Gareth Valentino and Amy Spaulding. You know them from I Kissed the Girl and I Kissed the Boy that was on the BBC, but the BBC cancelled them. So they've got a brand new podcast together called It Started With a Kiss. It's out now via ITV Studios. It's a dating show, but they're also bringing on some genuinely brilliant guests like Joshua Cavallo. We talked about that and across our socials this week. And to their credit as well, we managed when we get them on shortly to have a proper political conversation, which I think is really relevant as well, considering what happened at the end of last week. Also, a full disclosure, during the interview, I was under the influence of, don't worry, I haven't gone back there, of pain meds. I've got the prescriptions, if anyone needs to see them, got the prescriptions. I've got like a little neck injury. So I've got like a problem with the nerves on my neck. So they put me on like five different things, five different levels of sedation. And the interviews just fly by. So I'm sort of like, in the interview I did with them, I'm genuinely sort of like, I'm in pain at times. Can you tell? You're about to find out. I don't think you can. But there are moments where I'm sort of like, yeah. I think I styled it out. See what you think. That's coming up. First, I want to talk to you about what happened in the local elections this week, because it really matters. Remember, we did an episode, if you've listened to the show that long, back in 2024, about Labour winning the general election and what a huge thing that was. And the same's true of Trump as well, isn't it? We've given that the Trump victory, which has changed everything in the world. We've given that the attention that I think it deserves. But the elections in the UK last week, they weren't a general election. There was some misunderstandings on the street amongst the stupid about kick out Starmer. They could. These elections could result in Starmer being kicked out, but not because you're voting him out, which I thought was mad that people just didn't realise that. It's the local council elections, the local elections around the UK, and some elections in the Scottish Parliament and the Welsh Parliament as well, the Senedd. What? Two Ds, is that a thing? I don't know. So what happened on Thursday looks to me like a genuine fragmentation of British politics. We've been talking about it for a while, but look at it there. The votes split like seven different ways. And that's just in England. And it tells us something really important about where things are going, not just in the UK, but around the world and everywhere. Let me give you the headline numbers. Reform UK is the clear winner in England with over 1,000 net gains. Average vote share of around 25%. That's across the whole country, across more than 500 wards. They've taken control of places like Walsall, Sandwell, Bradford. We played a game in mine. It's a fun game. We have lots of fun. When a place had come up, we'd guess. There's a place around the corner from where I live, and I'm not going to say where it is. But we were like, that figures. So you look at them places and you go, yeah, we could have played a game of bingo there, Stoke-on-Trent, all that kind of stuff. They've won their first council seat in London as well, in Havering. In Leave voting areas, their average vote share hit 40%. So everywhere that fancied a good old Brexit is voting 40% for reform this time round. And of course, 40% across the whole country in a general election would just be, yeah, it wouldn't be good for anyone. I think it'd probably deliver them a landslide victory, actually. So this at the moment is a political movement. It's building local sort of power. And if you're not paying attention to that, you're making the same mistake everyone's made since about 2016, about them all, about Trump, about Maloney, about the AFD, about every populist right-wing surge of the last decade. And then look at what's happening on the other side as well, in the big cities, in London, the big urban centres. Labour is collapsing, but the voters aren't going to the right. No, they're going to the left. The Greens have taken Hackney. Again, this is a game of, well, of course, everywhere I've seen, I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. The Greens did quite well there. The Greens took Hackney. Anyone who knows Hackney will not be remotely surprised by that. They've also taken Lewisham, which surprised me a bit more. But it fits the kind of like inner London councils kind of pattern, doesn't it? They've won mayoralties as well, which is new for them. They've surged across urban England. Their leader, Zach Polanski, is out there saying two-party politics is dead, just like I am there. For the first time in my lifetime, the Greens might, if things went the right way, be able to think about forming a government or an opposition. And I, you know, first time in my lifetime, I'm very young. So I'm on, full disclosure, I, here, now, I'm on the Green Party WhatsApp group. I am. Full disclosure, where are we? Bromley Green Party. It's like a, so much going on in this. It's a whole community of people who are insanely excited, obviously. And what I've realised from, I am a member of the Green Party now. It will surprise no one. What surprised me about this WhatsApp group I'm in and the campaign is the level of energy that that I don't think we've seen since Jeremy Corbyn. Energy amongst quite young people, quite idealistic people, and I do worry that some of them are going to be disappointed somehow, because when expectations are set so high, it's difficult to avoid disappointment unless you stay in opposition. But my only concern is that you know, the way Reform have brought in a load of Tories, I feel like the Greens almost might need to bring in some experience if they're going to get anywhere near power in some places. And I love them. And I'm saying that as someone who's now self-identifying as a Green. I just worry that we need to bring in more experience, don't we, to make sure that everything goes fine. Because these people have all the right ideals. I just want it to go the right way. But look at Reform already. They've lost like three councillors, haven't they? Had to step down for various reasons. There's people being elected that have had terrible opinions, like the one that thought Nigerians should be melted down to fill potholes. That was one thing that he said. There's all manner of different accusations made against people. There's evidence as well, by the way, who've been elected as Reform councillors. And look at what's happening to Reform in all them areas. They're just sort of the areas that they've already got councils, like Kent, and there's the East Yorkshire Local Authority. It's not working anywhere they are, is it? It's not working. And so I just think if they've won all these councils, they've now got to deliver. And the most helpful thing for all of us could be the Reform Party absolutely stacking it just in front of the general election. For those of us in queer communities, in minority communities and the kinds of urban spaces where diversity is kind of just everywhere, it's not just theoretical, it's right in front of you. The question is not who won the local elections. I think the question is more, what kind of country are we becoming? And how can we sort of see the similarities here that people are seeing in the States, in France, in Germany, in Italy, where grievance politics and culture war are being weaponized to build electoral coalitions that are at their edges are genuinely hostile to people like us. So what next? Does Labour implode? Does Starmer survive somehow? Does the left eventually unite around one party? Or does it stay fractured between Labour, the Greens, the Lib Dems and Reform? And here's the really big question. If you add the numbers up, there's a clear, this is the one to bear in mind, and something that I'm sure Keir Starmer and those advising him, Gordon Brown, Harriet Harman, all them people, not Andy Burnham. This is the real question here. If you add the numbers up, a clear majority of votes in the UK are going to parties that somewhere kind of sit around the centre-left or the left. Labour, Greens, Lib Dems, collectively, they command far more support than even a combination of Reform and the Conservatives and the DUP, remember them. But under the first-past-the-post system, the majority is split three ways, which means that kind of it loses. So does Labour finally accept that proportional representation is the way to go? It will never govern on its own again, but is that the only way to prevent us falling into what is essentially fascism? Do they accept that their rule of one-party majority might be over? Will they do the right thing? Who knows? And if they are finished, if the two-party system's finished, if the Labour Party's finished, the door's wide open for Reform to keep building, to keep consolidating, to keep normalising a politics that, when you scratch underneath it, has got some really dark things going on. And that's the stakes. That is why the local elections in the UK really matters. They are the UK's midterms. Right, that's it, my rant, that's done. Here is my chat with Gareth Valentino and Amy Spalding from I Kissed a Boy and I Kissed a Girl. Of course, like I said, I may be medicated for parts of this. See if you can tell where...
On today's episode.
No, I don't think he's queer, but he's just not a fascist. So that's always a good start.
Okay, fine, we'll take that.
It's a good start, yeah. I'll take that.
People don't have attention span for like TV shows really anymore, to be honest. I know. That's the way the world is moving.
Do you watch telly, other than when you're on it? But you just watch yourself, don't you? I would.
Queer politics.
When Farage says jump, Labour might say how high.
And it's not true. It's offering people false hope.
Sex.
Dating apps have become a breeding ground for the worst of human behaviours.
And culture.
What do you want, homie? We get together, we be simple. Simple. Be simple for you.
He will, like, go nosh himself off.
This is Outcast World.
Right, I am joined by Gareth Valentino and Amy Spalding. Of course, they were big names in I Kissed a Boy and I Kissed a Girl. They were on our last episode. We covered so much ground, a lot of unexpected ground. They've got their new podcast, which is it's been described as a spin-off podcast. There's more to it than that, isn't there, guys? There is.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's kind of spinning off is me and Gareth.
Love it. Love that.
In the sense that it's obviously very different setup. It's how we met. That's why it's called It Started With a Kiss. Yeah. Started With a Kiss with Us. And, you know, obviously it's a spin-off in the sense it's just queer stories about dating, amplified and out to the world, just as, you know, like Kissed a Girl and like Kissed a Boy was.
I'd say it's less produced, more honest, more messy. Obviously, me and Amy are the hosts and we're kind of asking these amazing guests about their life and their experiences, life, love, everything in between.
So, excuse me, sipping coffee there. Don't mind me. Christine McGuinness and Joshua Carrillo, they are incredible names to be having on the show. First one, and also his husband as well, which I thought was really nice. And that's online now to stream. It's Tinder backed your podcast, isn't it? Does having a, and I say this, having been sniffed out is a really bad description of what happened. I was not sniffed out by anyone, but I wouldn't rule it out. But having dating platforms trying to back your podcast is always a good move, I'd say, and I'm always available to be sniffed out by any. So Tinder is your one. Does it make a bit of a difference having a brand in the room? Does it change what you say, or are they really hands off? The chances of you slagging them off now are zero.
Yeah.
No, I think they're pretty hands off, but also, I mean, Tinder is kind of like notoriously for straight people, really, isn't it? They've seen it like that. But now the fact that they're backing a queer podcast is like amazing.
Yeah, and I've worked with them before in Pride last year, you know, where they were amplifying like different queer stories from different ages, which was just great. It's honestly so hands off. The only, like, obviously, we just can't talk about other dating brands, really, is like the kind of like, you know, hard line of like of their like limits. But like, it's very welcoming to the fact that we're able to like put this on through Tinder.
They also let us be ourselves, I think.
Yeah.
I think that was the kind of the key thing for me and Amy. Like, Tinder are so like, they just let us, they were like, you guys are great, just like do your thing, like speak how you want, when you want, about anything you want, obviously with limitations of like language, but
You swear, I mean, on it? Are you allowed to swear on the podcast? Surely you are. It's a podcast. You are? Can you say fuck?
Can you say anything worse than? Can you say
the C word? I mean,
I use it as cunty. Yeah, it's fine.
I think, every second word of mine is a curse word, so I've had to really rat back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I find? Go on, sorry, you were saying.
No, I was just going to say, I'm trying to do it for my mum's sake, because I'm swearing around the dinner table and it's too much. So
it slips out at home, doesn't it, sometimes? My mum gets really angry, me generally. So the BBC cancelled both your shows in March, the shows that you were like that you were involved in the beginning, citing funding challenges. 4 in 10 queer TV characters who existed last year won't be back for 2026. What's going on? Tell me what's going on. What do you think's going on?
Tom?
Yeah, I think it's just reflective of the kind of right-wing rhetoric that seems to be
swiffing the world.
The world, not just
except for Hungary.
It's interesting. I think. Well,
go ahead, Mom.
Is yeah, they just on content.
I don't know
themselves.
Much about Hungary politics.
Yeah, they did. Quite good. That was the only good thing that's happened is Hungary.
Yeah. They just elected someone who's queer, right?
No, I don't think he's queer, but he's just not a fascist. So that's always a good start.
Okay, fine, we'll take that.
That's a good start. Yeah. I'll take that one. What is going on around the world? You're saying Trump and all that. It's impacting what, everything?
I mean, it's just a knob-on effect, isn't it? You know, like the right-wing idiots at the top are gradually taking over again for whatever reason, you know, money, power, etc. And that kind of like just feeds down into the younger generation.
It's just down. And I think it's unfair because like, as a platform like the BBC that is supposed to, you know, it's like it's funded by taxpayer money, so therefore should reflect taxpayer. Yeah.
Gay people and lesbians are taxpayers also.
Yeah, like fortunately, we should be able to, like, as queer people, I'm putting my money to see myself on screen. So like, to have it then kind of taken away feels unfair, and like it's in a situation, obviously, like life's unfair, but like it's one of those things where it's like that actually should be balanced.
It's like, how many straight shows are there on TV? We've got Love Island,
there's
there's Married at First Sight. That's what I mean. Like, what's a couple of little shows for us gonna do?
And it makes no sense, like, the argument of like, in terms of like, even if ratings were low or like viewership was low, which we know is not true because I Kissed a Girl, like, people messaging me like all over the country, all over the world. Yeah. You know what I mean? Constantly.
I don't think the numbers would ever be a question there, would they? It's like a niche in the broadest terms, streaming hit, isn't it? Why would you take it off?
And it shouldn't matter in the sense of like, if the whole world is straight, or if the whole like nation is majority straight, then you would expect straight shows to perform better, and then therefore like the queer shows would perform worse, in the sense that there's going to be like
But we even had like straight like people who were fans.
No, exactly. So it's just yeah, it feels expected though, because we're used to it, as you say. Like, every year queer people are killed off on TV shows and plot lines and shows are cancelled, so it's just like, fine. But for some reason I thought we were going to be,
yeah, we were going to have a good solid run,
yeah,
but we've got this now and we're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And they say that, you know, and it sounds a bit mad, but a lot of what was in television is moving into podcasting. If you look at a lot of the TV schedules now, well, that Traitors show was a podcast.
Yeah.
TV's getting cheaper and podcasting's getting a bit more visual, and the two are meeting somewhere. So having a podcast that's got a visual thing is kind of like, it's the sensible thing, isn't it?
No, I was just going to say, and our show feels like
that hybrid
of like
telly,
TV
chat,
and
and that's where everything is, I think, anyway, at the moment. I think it's a really good place to be. It's like, it's a really good show that you're launching at the moment.
Yeah, it's very accessible, which is great, and it's budget friendly most of the time.
And also, people don't have the attention span for like TV shows really anymore, to be honest. I mean, that's the way the world is moving.
Do you watch telly other than when you're on it? But you just watch yourself, don't you? I would. Me again.
I was like,
do you not watch it?
No. I mean, I watch like a good movie. But like, if an episode's over 20 minutes, I'm fucking sleeping. Like,
quite a TV watcher.
No, I can't.
But it's just nice to unwind.
I've got to scroll. Scroll and watch. Make it easy.
Well, do you?
Well, I do both.
Do you doom scroll? You doom scroll.
Honestly, I just sit there and it doesn't end. It doesn't end. All the bargains, all the negative news, all stuff about Trump. We talked about Trump just before. I want to pin you down on this, because I think like this is the single most. This is the biggest story in the world for our lives, isn't it? And it directly impacts queer people and people like us. We're right in the firing line on this. And I just think it's really good to find out what people in the public, I think. What is happening with Trump in America, we'll all agree, I'm sure, is genuinely, genuinely terrifying. I find it terrifying. The fact that I could come here, my husband, family from the Caribbean, and just, we're all blended now, aren't we? And we're all going to be impacted in some way. You know, ICE, trans rights being dismantled, HRV funding gone, millions will be dead off the back of that. Are you following this, and what are your thoughts on what is going on there in the wider world right now? Both of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to follow it. And I think as queer people, we have a duty, and to be fair, as like human beings, we have a duty to follow it and to empathize with what's going on across the pond, because also like it's completely reflected in what's happening over here as well. And like, we're almost like following suit, and we are following suit. Like, everything that happens over there that Trump seems to be doing, Farage is like, oh, I like that, I'm going to implement it. And like, vary that. And like, even with the ICE stuff, you know, there's talks of us getting our own like kind of fucking police to
secret police
deal with immigration. Yeah. inhumane ways ever. It's bonkers and it's so scary, but I think there's glimpses of hope that I'm seeing that I hold on to, like Zohan in New York, like he seeing the way he speaks and the way he fights. And so he doesn't just say stuff that's like kind of in the middle. He very much does go for the full left wing. And same with Zach Polanski.
Yeah, like Green Party, come on.
I know. I saw him on the tube the other day.
Did you? Did you fangirl him?
Yeah, I fangirled. I literally went up and I was like, just want to say like everything. You've given me so much hope. Like as a queer person, like all of this, and you shook my hand and I was just like, the fact you're riding the like Piccadilly line right now, I'm just
I love that. You did just see Ken Livingstone on the Piccadilly line sometimes. It's a bit mad. By the way, Zach Polanski retweeted one of our TikToks, whatever it's called, where they redo it on TikTok. And I thought, I can stop doing this podcast and I'll die a happy man. Zach Polanski's just TikTok me or whatever the fuck it is.
I think Zach is our guiding light in this instance for the UK. Yeah. Like, and it's only picking up traction now. Like, it just seems to be getting bigger and bigger.
It's hard though, because it's hard to know if whether or not we're just in a bubble of like an echo chamber of like liberal politics reflected back at us. Because how is this stuff getting passed in governments and parliaments and like in the parliament? Sorry, that like how does it get through if everything we're seeing is like Green Party and stuff and like so liberal. There's obviously the outside world. I mean, I see it when a TikTok pops up on my page of some really insane right wing things, and I'm like, and the Manosphere documentary is kind of another example of that. Madness. Of like, oh my god, I have no idea. This is what
did like, you not think in that Manosphere doc, Louis Theroux was, or anyone, whenever anyone, even Piers Morgan on that, I hate Piers Morgan, but when the moment they say anything to one of these kids, they just fall apart. They have got a bad look at a clavicular, whatever. He went on 60 Minutes Australia the other day and they asked him one question that was like, do you think something to do with looks? And he went, I'm sorry that someone fucked your wife, and just walked off. Yeah, they're like, they wow.
So, it's just the looks maxing guy.
They just get so defensive and it's just like, it's insane.
But I think just give them enough rope, they'll hide themselves. Like, they're doing so, like, the things that the trust is saying is so ridiculous and so stupid that hopefully anyone with a bit of sense will see that and be like, you're fucking you know, like, we just have to let them do it, unfortunately.
I think looking at that, well, we need to, like, in Manchester, look at that that Gorton by-election. You know, you could argue that them kind of places, everyone might be racist and it's so northern and it's so normal, and what happened? It turns out we're actually decent people and we'll vote for the local plumber.
And it's incredible. And it's just like, it's just the fact that I think there's just such a story behind that of like what Green Party is all about. She just got a plastering thing, didn't she?
Yeah.
And like,
sorry, you had to cross off. You had to cancel.
Yeah, of one of the people. And like, that's exactly who we like should be in power, is people who reflect us and can experience, like, you know, have the same experiences as us. And that's why it's so important as queer people that we should see people in power who are also queer and have lived the same, also trans, and have lived the same experiences as us, because they're gonna know what's best for us.
Yeah.
As opposed to these just like straight white males who know nothing about female experience nor the queer experience nor anything, and like make all
did you vote Labour last time?
Laws.
I did.
Actually, you know, I voted
Labour, unfortunately.
Well, I voted for back home in Surrey, and I voted Lib Dem to sway the Conservative vote, and it worked, which is great.
Gareth, you said you voted Labour, and you regret it. I did, and I do, and I'm upset. I think I always knew I was going to end up upset voting Labour. I always knew I was going to, and I have done before. But what is it that's upset you about it? And
Just the promises that we were given, or we were told we were going to get, and they haven't delivered, or they've done the complete opposite of what they said they were going to do. Like, it's literally, we're in a worse position now than we ever were.
Yeah. I just think, like, even if I was voting in London, I would have voted Labour, because there was that massive rhetoric that said Green Party wasted vote, and like, it's proved now that it's actually not a waste of vote. But back then as well, like, Labour would have been the last people, I think, who would have stripped trans people's rights.
Yeah.
Like, that that would have been something that I would have thought they wouldn't have ever touched. And so it's just absolutely like makes you lose all faith in politics and people in power.
Because why would Labour do that and then all of a sudden they're doing it? What do you think of Wes Streeting? What do you thought? Because I think whenever you think of the very worst of that, of a gay man, a white gay man that's joined the Labour Party, got himself into power to shit on trans people, I'm like, wow, you really do look like that thing off Thomas the Tank Engine as well. I was thinking that. His face. That's like Gordon off Thomas the Tank Engine.
The fat controller. Yeah.
No, not the fat controller. Gordon was one of the engines with a big wide face.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's the old tale of just like internalized homophobia within gay men. Like, come on. Like, are you really thinking like doing that is going to help it whatsoever?
It's just baffling because like trans people, when it comes to queer people's rights in general, like it is... like the Marsha P. Johnsons and the Sylvia Rivera's who are the reason are like part of such a big reason why we have rights as well. So like there literally would be no LGB without the T. So like how can you as a gay person sideline these trans stories and not even sideline, but like come for them? And it's like,
it's power greed is what it is.
So power greed.
Like, they just care. Ultimately,
they just want the vote.
And they just want the vote. They want the money and they want to be on top. America's Next Top Model want to be on top. That's what it is. That's all they care about as gay men.
Tops in the bedroom, tops in the bedroom. In Parliament.
Yeah. Tops in the bedroom. There's not a lot of them these days, as I've seen. Yeah.
Okay.
They're in short supply. Those that are liars, normally. Guys, these are all big issues, and these are all kind of things I guess you're going to be touching on in your new podcast with just a brilliant lineup of guests. You want to just give us a bit of an outline of that before we finish? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
mean, Christy McGuinness, obviously, Josh Wallow, we've got Paris Lucey.
Yeah, Paris Lucey and Charlie Craig specifically.
I actually stole a gag off Charlie Craig's there. You know that one about Thomas the Tank Engine and the big wide face with Gordon? That's Charlie's, just FYI.
Yeah, sorry, Charlie.
Sorry, so you're saying.
She's just like absolutely the most funny person.
This is what it is, though. We wanted the chaos and she brings
to us.
Then also like has such important stories and important representation of dating as a trans person and like
she's very multifaceted in that.
Yeah, multifaceted. Like one minute I was pissing myself laughing, the next minute I'm crying my eyes out. Like, and it's just like it's so important and so needed, and it just makes me smile to think of all the trans like girlies listening to the podcast.
Absolutely.
Maybe you're finding it
her stories. I'm just like, whoa, like she has so many stories about family, about relationships, and it's like, so like, but she's just so strong as well.
Exactly that. And I think Paris and Charlie specifically, like they are proof that like it works out and like that you need to keep going and you need to not give it up. Specifically Paris is
a really strong person, you can tell.
Lived a million lives and look at her now, like she's everywhere, like her show has been so successful. She's such a successful like writer, first trans person to write for Vogue. Like
she's so nonchalant about these accolades.
Yeah,
she's just so down to earth, but also like I feel like she could hold her own in any conversation.
Exactly that. And like they both, like Paris talks about how she very much platforms and like wants to give jobs to trans people because there's so much, protect the dolls, protect the dolls, protect the dolls.
But
give the dolls jobs.
Yeah.
Give the dolls, like pay the dolls. Do you know what I mean?
She said she was like, as a trans woman, I knew from a very early age that I didn't need, I did need to protest and everything, but I needed to be in a place of power so I could do that.
Yeah.
So she knew she needed to be on top before she could like healthfully like envelop what the needs. Yeah.
Well, Gareth, Amy, it's been a great chat. I've really enjoyed it. Best of luck with your new podcast, which is called It Started With a Kiss in association with Tinder. So best of luck with the show. Thanks for coming on Outcast World.
So much. It's been great to chat.
Queer politics, sex and culture. Outcast World.
Stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.